This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Perella Palatia right across the river to the woods from our granny loves to snap her AK-47 combo meal, THC, CBD, oil cartridge when she's drinking shots of JMO in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. But all my friends that come around, flat to flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, but the best is tattered, tattered, my brain splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High this evening. And what a night it's been. I mean, just chaos everywhere. We'll get into all of it on this show. 844-843-6879 is the number to get in. Toll free, 844-843-6879, the number. Here is the deal in terms of the end of these games. Nets 127-118, and they cover against the Kings. Seven straight wins for the Nets. Pistons beat the Magic 105-93 in Orlando. Cavs come back. Beat the Hawks by one, 112-111 in Cleveland at the Q. Warriors just finished off the Knicks at the world's most famous, 114-106, and covered the four. I hit that game as well, picking the Warriors to win out right over the Knicks at the Garden. And then the Bucks are lighting up the T-Wolves right now. 3.5 left, 126-110. Mavs by one over the Celtics. Celtics have the ball, minute 15 left and rolling. Kemba Walker, brick, Mavs the rebound. And the Sixers lead the Raptors, and they just finished them off 109-102, the final. As far as college basketball goes, Nova beating up on St. John's 76-54. Penn State's up three on Nebraska with 30 seconds left. Oklahoma, Kansas State tied at the half. Kansas up 43-32 on Texas and Austin at the half. Ole Miss leading by nine over Missouri and Columbia at the half. Washington down 20 at the half to Arizona State and Tempe. Georgetown leads UConn by 1.5 in D.C. Louisville beat Notre Dame 69-57. Georgia blew out LSU. Ohio blew out Akron. Miami of Ohio ripped Central Michigan 96-54. Buffalo 102-74 over Northern Illinois. Georgia State 85-71 over App State. Richmond beat UMass by 14. VCU, a big win over St. Louis. They needed that one in Richmond. They beat them by 2. How about Michigan State? Carver High, the upset of Illinois, 81-72 at the Breslin. West Virginia wins at TCU in Fort Worth, 74-66. Georgia Tech won in Blacksburg. I was shocked at that one, 69-53. I lost that bet. Florida killed Auburn. Auburn season's over now. Done. Bruce Pearl, put a fork in him. You get whacked like that at home and you're already a game under 500, you're finished. That's it, it's over. And Baylor was laying 24. They beat Iowa State by 5 and they were down in this game most of the way, having problems with the Cyclones. We welcome in our radio affiliates, Sirius Channel 204, our satellite partner, Sirius XM. Also, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. And then Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, and Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench with yours truly and Carver High this evening. Big comeback for Baylor. They win by 5, laying 24. That didn't go well, but at least they won the game and stayed perfect. And all these games are still going on. Penn State by 4 with 30 seconds left. We'll keep our eyes on that. Hockey, they love hockey. They love hockey. Predators 2-0 on the Red Wings in the third with 30 seconds left. The Penguins win in overtime on a 2-1-1 break. Happening with a one-timer. On the left slot, and he scores on the road in D.C. Nice call by Carver High with the Penguins winning, and they remain hot. Sabres beat the Devils at the Rock 4-1. Blackhawks in a shootout over the Jaguars 6-5. Big John Tortorella constantly losing now, Carver High in Columbus. When are they going to fire him? The Senators 5-4 over the Canadiens in a shootout. I watched the overtime there, and the Senators beat him in overtime. That's embarrassing. I mean, it really is that they're 6-14 and you can't beat them. Honestly, something's wrong with the Canadians. Only time will tell. Oilers and Canucks set to go in Vancouver. On this very show, Michael Williams will join us. He was on Coast to Coast today. Of course, he is a badass, covers the PGA Tour, and he does the Pharrell on a Bench show periodically. We try to get him on as often as possible. He does CBS Radio, Golf, WRX.com, Voice of America. Michael Williams will join us later this hour to break down the Tiger Woods car crash today in Los Angeles and his update on the condition. 2 broken legs, a shattered ankle, compound fractures. I think he got through the surgery at UCLA. So we'll talk about it. All right, our good friend High Heat, Detective Dolan, joins us on the bench to talk about the Tiger Woods wreck. And he was feeding me today information on how the Popo handles these types of, crash scenes. How you doing there, Detective? Good to see you on the bench again. It's been a while.
Scott, pleasure to be back, and appreciate you having me tonight.
So let's talk about it. Let's run down the thing. I thought your rundown today was fascinating. A, that they were on the scene. They determined the speed and cause of the accident. The tox will take time. I'm sure they drew blood and whatever at the hospital. They didn't do it on scene. Then they'll do the human factor with interviews, accident analysis, cell phone downloads, then they determine driver, inattention or distraction, texting or use of the phone, alcohol or drug impairment, and then any medical emergency he might have had that would cause him to lose control of the vehicle. Very interesting how that works. But I have to ask you, and I want you to go through that with me a little bit. But, I mean, it's pretty obvious now that they have determined and said repeatedly that he was hauling ass down that hill, that he was speeding, and that he was driving way too fast on a dangerous road. And I said today on Coast to Coast, this guy's not familiar with those roads. He doesn't live there. He golfs there once every couple of years, whatever. But he doesn't, not, you know, just because he knows his way around doesn't mean he knows the roads and how fast you can go.
Yeah, so Scott, I think just to go back to what we all witnessed on TV and what was going on, I mean, you saw the accident investigators on the scene on that was just constantly rolling on video from all networks. And basically, they're examining the crime scene. They've, at this point, would have collected and gathered all their evidence, which is debris, puddles of gasoline, skid marks. They can basically, with their calculations, determine a rate of speed at impact. So they'll have that all information. And right about now, they'll be working on their accident reconstruction, reconstructing the whole incident. And that's going to also include statements. And that could be statements that they'll be speaking to people with the TMZ reports when he was leaving a high rate of speed from the hotel, see if that's consistent. They'll look at the witness statements, see if they can match it up with any video from the surround hotel or any of the surrounding buildings in the area. And, you know, as we talked about it, this is not a very complicated investigation, right? So they'll determine the rate of speed, but it comes down to those four things that we talked about. Was he just not paying attention when he was driving? Was there a distraction? Was he texting? If he's texting, they're going to dump the cell phone, and they're going to look at the activity, when the calls were taking place, if he was on the phone at the time of the accident. I know that they had the press conference, and they ruled out any recovery of alcohol or narcotics in the vehicle, but that doesn't mean he is absent of that in his system. That'll come out in toxicology and blood work that'll be done at the hospital. I think we could rule out the medical emergency causing him to lose control of the vehicle because the first responding officer said that he was lucid and in shock, but he knew his name and kind of had his bearings about, you know, what just took place. So, I mean, this could very simply come down to him being reckless and careless, driving his vehicle at a high rate of speed. Or we'll find out in the days to come whether there was any foul play, meaning alcohol or some narcotics that he may have been taking because of his recent back surgery.
So let me ask you, when they took that car, that SUV, that Genesis SUV, that they said basically in not so many words, in actuality that the cell of the car, the core of the car inside basically saved his life, that he... all the airbags went off, and he was in this core, and that, you know, frankly, not only did they say that saved him, but that if he would have been another, you know, even 100 yards or a quarter mile or a half mile further on that same road where they have seen multiple fatality crashes, that is pretty apparent today that the PD said that that's a very dangerous road, and all the people that live there in Rancho Palo Verde, whatever, they all know that it's dangerous and that accidents occur there. So when they take that car to that shell, when they took it to the warehouse, you saw them back it into that garage. What do they do with the car after the fact, now that they have it hidden in a shop?
Well, they'll probably bring all the debris of the vehicle back. They'll try to reconstruct the vehicle. And basically, they want to rule out that there may have been error with the vehicle. Let's say that the brake, they're going to test the brakes to see that he just didn't lose, because that could be something that he could say also, right? If he was traveling at a high rate of speed, when they interview him post-surgery, when he comes out of this, he could say, I lost my brakes. So they want to test the operability of everything, make sure his steering was working, make sure his braking was intact, and they can do that through a systematic assessment. So it's basically a whole reconstruction and testing everything on the vehicle to see if there were any failure points that maybe he lost his brakes and he couldn't turn or couldn't stop. So there's a whole litany of tests that are going on behind closed doors in that garage right now, evaluating the vehicle itself.
If they got him like speeding out of that hotel and missing an individual, whether he was a TV producer or not, is meaningless. But that guy was a witness. He said that he did this to him. People saw it, and he drove out of there crazy, allegedly. If they got him on film doing that, and then they know that he was hauling ass on that road and speeding and driving too fast, I mean, bottom line is he's doomed in terms of, like, you know, it's...
From a criminal standpoint, Scott, he's looking at reckless and careless driving, which should be just minimal fines and penalties because there was no damage or injury sustained to... It would have been a higher grade of a charge of aggravated assault, maybe if he hit another vehicle and injured another party. But the fact that it was just damage to property and it was based on his reckless or careless actions, there'll be summons, fined, and, you know, a court appearance. And as long as there's no illegality with narcotics or alcohol involved in that, it'll be a minor fine and right. Some points on his licenses, probably.
Let me ask you. I'm running out of time here. I have to ask you, are you surprised that he's alive? And then, secondly, I don't know how much time I got left here. I got about a minute. You got to be not 90 seconds. You got to be quick. And do you think that the Russians are going to try to kill Panarin?
First thing first, I'm shocked at the injuries that he sustained. I've responded to many of these accidents, and they're very horrific. I think he was blessed to only have compound fractures and crushed legs and maybe a shattered ankle, which is surprising to be able to come out of that like he did, which is a blessing. But as far as my man Panarin, I think they have to have him in a safe house right now. Because if Putin and the KGB are looking for us, we're in big trouble. I don't know how we can hide him for this long. He's got to get back on the ice.
Hey, you can bring him out here to where we live, out in the hood. We'll keep him safe out here. You know what I mean? We can hide him. Hey, we can bring him down and introduce him to some 4-star and 5-star recruits at the gym.
We could hide him up on the second floor.
Oh, my God, the action that you and I see at that place every day. That is just a home wrecker situation. Hi, Heat. Good talking to you, my man. Thanks for checking in.
Scott, thanks for having me. Good luck, guys.
All right, there he is, Detective Dolan. Always important to talk to the High Heat on those problems. Michael Williams next on Tiger. Pharrell on a bench with you. Michael Williams, our good friend. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael on TV. Does a lot on CBS Radio Golf, WRX.com, and Voice of America. He was on Coast to Coast today, and we didn't really get to spend enough time with him talking about this horrific accident with Tiger Woods. Let's bring him on now. We'll go through all of it, break it all down. Hey, Mike, thanks for joining us on the bench tonight.
Hey, my pleasure, man, as always. Thanks for having me on.
So let me start by, you know, asking you your reaction to the news that he had two broken legs, a compound fracture, which is a very scary, dangerous break that, you know, torpedoes through skin and shows, you know, the broken bone itself, like protruding through skin. And then the talk of his ankle being shattered, which is, you know, I mean, that's worse than Dak Prescott breaking his ankle. And, you know, you talk about shattering an ankle. I dread to think what that's going to be like to get his ankle back and his legs. It's just crazy what's happened. And he had that surgery, the UCLA hospital. And I have not heard anything about, you may know more than me if it was successful or not, but what do you think of those injuries that you know of?
But when you, I mean, when you list them all out like that, and you hear them all at one time. I mean, and look, let's start with the car. When I looked at the car and I saw the first picture of the car, I thought that he was not going to make it. So, because there was this sort of blackout of information that were saying he had leg injuries. And I thought maybe they're just holding back information. I think one of the officers at the scene had said if he hadn't been wearing a seatbelt, 100% chance would have been a fatality. This would have been a fatal accident. I mean, those any one of those injuries, you know, is going to be something that puts you out maybe for a year, maybe for a career. And now he has, what, multiple career-ending, life-changing injuries. The guy is just in for, I mean, he's in surgery today. If anybody's thinking that this is going to be his last time in surgery, you know, for these injuries, you got another thing coming. I've spoken to orthopedic surgeons, and he is in for multiple surgeries to correct and recorrect and deal with these things. Then you have, if you remember the Alex Smith story here at the Washington football team, surgery is not the only thing. Then there's rehab. What if there's infection? I mean, there are so many things that are going on right now on the medical side, but he's still with us, you know, Scotty. And you know, the first thing that ran through my mind when I heard about this, it was just like Kobe. Somebody called me and it hadn't been on the news yet. And they asked me, what do you think about Tiger? I said, well, I don't know. Maybe he's going to not play in the Masters. I thought they were talking about his back. Like, no, man, he got in the accident. And got an accident. I got a bunch of buddies out on the West Coast. And they started talking to me about it before it even hit the news. And I got that cold ice bucket feeling again. Like, oh, my God, this is going to be like Kobe Bryant all over again. We're going to lose this guy from one moment to the next. It's a horrific set of injuries. He's in for a lot of pain and a lot of recovery. But, you know, the good news is, the blessing is, he's still with us, man. And we'll just see, you know, for updates and see what's going to happen. And so many people are focusing on how did this happen. Let's just, you know, for a minute, just be grateful that the guy's still around.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think there's so many sides to this story that are crazy because, I mean, let's just face facts. He has had his body ravaged with injuries from golf. Golf has tore him up. The Achilles tendon, back surgery 5 times. The first one in 2014, second one 2015, third one in a month later, after September had one in 2015, October 2015, April 2017, a fourth back surgery fused, May of 2017, arrested, DUI, drugs, pills, hammer, drunk, and then you know, October of that year, pleads guilty to reckless driving, basically gets off. Now he crashes the car in Los Angeles and has these compound fracture, 2 broken legs, shattered ankle. God only knows what else. We only know of these things. We don't know anything else. You're right. He could have infections, everything, a litany of problems. I will say this. I'm just going to say it because it's true. The guy, if he kicked pills and he got over, you know, he was addicted to painkillers. I mean, I've never known anyone, to be honest with you, Michael, that has had that many surgeries, frankly, that didn't get addicted to pills. I know for a fact because I've had 20 surgeries and I've munched 50 million pills. And all I know is, once you start taking those things for all that pain, I remember hearing Shelbourne say today on ESPN, she had the same surgery. She's like, I have to control the pills because, you know, you just want to keep taking them because you're in such pain. Well, that's bad news for somebody that likes eating pills, okay? Let me tell you, you know, first and foremost, it's that simple. So I don't know. I'm very scared for him that I don't know if there was pills involved or drinking involved. We don't know that. But I'm telling you, if he has to have all these surgeries, he is going to be in agony and he's going to be on pain meds. There is no way that you can have compound fractures of your legs and shattered ankle and just sit in there and drink water and say, I'm not taking any pain meds. It's impossible. And he's going to be back on that pain med, which takes you on that carpet ride. And especially if you're addicted to them, you can't stop eating them. Are you not worried about him with his addiction problems?
Yeah, I mean, I was worried as this news began to unfold. I started to worry about, well, could this be a possible cause? Could this be him having a combination of, you know, that old cycle that he got into before, of like taking things to go to sleep, taking something else to wake up, something else to get you through the day. We know that he's just had back surgery that he's recovering from. He said in an interview on Sunday during the Genesis tournament at Riviera, he said that, you know, I'm feeling a little stiffness. Look, I've been talking to and working with Tiger for 15 years as a part of the media. And I know that when he says that there's a little bit of stiffness, it is a type of, he's probably in the type of pain that would sit anybody on their ass for a month, right? The guy has a tolerance for pain like a woman. Because we all know, if men had to bear children, there'd be nobody on the planet. Because we're not going to go through that. That's just not happening, okay? We'd have to hatch them out of eggs. So he has an ungodly tolerance for pain. The guy won the U.S. Open on a fried chicken wing, right? Fried chicken leg. You know, right. It was just, right. You know, a broken drumstick. It was unbelievable what the pain that he can go through. But it requires help. It requires some sort of medical help. And I do worry about it. I worry about him being just overtired again. You know, the tiredest I've ever seen Tiger, the most worn down I've ever seen him, was when he still had his tournament back here in D.C. at Congressional. And that week was, he would tell you that was the most crushing week for him of any week on the tour, because he had all those things to do. He'd actually play in the tournament just so he could get a break from all that other stuff that he had to do off the course. So this was his tournament at Riviera. He was running that thing. That's his beneficiary thing. And apparently he was on his way to do another promotional thing. I read from TMZ that he was on his way to Riviera to give Drew Brees a golf lesson, to film some sort of promotion with that one. And apparently was running a half an hour late. So it makes sense to me, if you're an hour away and, you know, you got a half an hour to get there, what do? You step on it. So, I mean, we don't know. I mean, there's a variety of things. All of this is speculation. But I think for most people, all of them come out of a good place in their heart. And what's most amazing to me, Scott, is that, you know, we talked about it, of course, because we love sports, we love golf, we love Tiger and that whole thing. I do politics. You know, I do politics for a living as well. Every single cable news network in this country was playing 3 hours straight of Tiger Woods coverage on a day where we had congressional confirmations of cabinet officers. We had the first hearing about the incursion on Capitol Hill. There's important stuff happening out there, and everybody stopped the planet to see if Tiger was okay. That's who that guy is.
Well,
that's who
listen,
he is. Right there.
I'll tell you, let me just say this. Like, and I know you cover politics, but I have a thing or two to say about all those phonies. I have never in my life seen more phony people and fake, pathetic, just absolute backstabbing losers than the people in, and I got to say this, if they think, I'm not even going to hesitate. What they did with that impeachment trial, with all those people supporting that guy after what he did at the Capitol, you cannot get around it. There's no getting around it. Everyone knows what happened. There's no one. All those people that went and raided that Capitol, now they're all crying. They don't want to go to jail. They need, oh, somebody help me. Jesus, help me. I didn't mean it. I was just going on a sightseeing tour as they were smashing windows and they were killing people, and they were trying to kill people. They were trying to assassinate people, and then they all voted for the guy not guilty when they know he did it. So I don't give a rat's ass what all of those liars and thieves and phony-ass, fake, worthless scum that run this country in the Capitol and in that right and left, middle, center, wherever. Screw all those people. No wonder they talked about Tiger Woods all day today, because we're sick and tired of those liars and thieves that run this country in Washington, D.C. Screw all those people 6 ways till Sunday. All right, one last thing before I get back into it with Michael Williams. Honestly, I don't get me started on politicians, okay? Because that piece of shack, Ted Cruz, okay? How about this guy? The gall of this lying, absolute thief of a... I don't even know what he is, but don't get me going on this guy. Watching this guy have the audacity to question the guy trying to run the Department of Justice in a confirmation hearing after what he did to his own people in the state of Texas, going to Cancun with his fat wife and his kids. Let me tell you something. And then listening to that guy cry today about people taking pictures of his fat wife in a bikini on the beach, listening to that guy, I want to stick my fist through his face. What an absolute piece of garbage, human garbage that guy is. You can quote me on that. They should yank his ass out of that state, drag his ass out of Texas. I can't even believe that he's in office. I can't even believe that guy has a job in Washington, D.C. What a phony liar he is. And you can quote me on that, too. I'll beat his ass. I can't stand that guy. Every time I see him, I cringe. Let me ask you this question, Michael. You're the one that brought up politics. Don't get me started. So here's the deal. I want to know if honest to Christ, and you know I'm right about that guy. Honestly, that guy, I don't know what that guy is. Can you even believe that guy ran for president? That Nazi? Here's another thing. Let me tell you. Do you believe, I have a hard time believing, I really do, that Tiger Woods will ever play golf again? You compound fracture, break both your legs, shatter your ankle. You're 45 years old. You've already had multiple surgeries on your body. You cannot tell me that a guy as good as he is, with all those majors, can shatter his ankle and break both of his legs and have a compound fracture and then what? Play golf again? When? 5 years? 7 years? He'll be too old. When will this guy ever even be normal again in life?
I gotta just go back to Ted Cruz for a quick second, tell you my two favorite Ted Cruz jokes. You maybe even heard them. It's like there's two types of people, people who don't like Ted Cruz and Ted Cruz. The other one is, why do people take an instant dislike to Ted Cruz? Because it saves time. You know, and that's what we have to say about Ted in D.C. So
don't get me started on that guy.
I'm sorry. I had to get those out there. It was like a sneeze waiting to happen.
I liked him.
Will he play again? Will he play again? Look, there's an eerie parallel that's going on right here. In February of 1949, Ben Hogan, considered one of the best golfers ever. Some still consider him the best ever, those who saw him play in his prime. Ben Hogan was driving through Texas in a fog, had an accident. Him and his wife hit a bus head-on and suffered injuries that are so comparable to what Tiger's injuries are that it's kind of scary. Broken ribs, broken collarbone, double fracture to the pelvis, left leg almost sheared off. And they told Ben Hogan, you're never going to play again. He played the next year and won the U.S. Open. So you can't say never, especially with a guy like Tiger. As a matter of fact, I'd like to take early offshore money and say, yeah, he'll win the Masters next year because that's just who he's been. You know, I'll go ahead and lose that hundy. I don't care because that's who he's been. I'm tired of saying that he can't and he won't, and he's going out and doing it. You know, that's been his life. That's been his career. But you look at all the things accumulated and you say, how is that possible? I just don't see it. And it's so weird because, you know, he has always lived in history for most of his career, even from that first win at the Masters. All of a sudden, we're not comparing him to his fellow golfers. We're comparing him to the best who have ever been, who have ever lived. That's where he's lived, and that's where he's lived in our imagination. The best young golfer since Bobby Jones, maybe the best golfer and exceeding, maybe the best golfer ever, including Jack Nicklaus. You think about Ben Hogan, Sam Snead. So he's chasing Sam Snead's record for most wins ever. He's stuck tied with Snead. He's not going to catch Jack. But when you look at him, you see him like paralleling all of these guys with his career. And now all of a sudden, in this final
sort of horrific Greek tragedy of a moment, he emulates Ben Hogan driving to Riviera, which is known as Hogan's Alley, because that's where Hogan won that U.S. Open after he crushed his freaking body in a car accident. I mean, history is an MF, right? I mean, in terms of it just repeating itself and giving all these parallels and overlays, it's crazy, right?
I mean, it is. I'll give you that. It's a very eerie, similar tale, but there's also the side of me that says Ben Hogan didn't have, you know, as many, how many, 10 operations this guy's had. His body's been ravaged. You know, Ben Hogan, unless I'm mistaken, that incident was horrific, but he didn't have all the problems Tiger Woods has had. Even, I mean, he didn't have his wife chasing him down the street with a golf club with a 56 wedge and smashing that car. And then the DUIs and the drugs and the addictions and then the, you know, the sex addiction. And I mean, this guy, there is never, I mean, honestly, this guy's story, they just did the 30 documentary on him on HBO, whatever it was. And the bottom line is, have you ever seen anyone in your life? I mean, there's no one. There's absolutely no one that can compare to this guy's story of A, his life, B, his success, and C, his tragedies. I mean, has there ever been anyone, an actor, actress, athlete? There is no one that can touch Tiger Woods with his, he's global for one thing, and then to have all this craziness happen to him, I mean, it is absolute insanity. In fact, I think the Sam Snead story is eerie, similar, and you know, I think it's, you know, weird and everything, but there's no comparison when it comes to what's happened to this guy's body with what that guy had happen to him once. It seems like Tiger Woods has had his body ravaged 15 times.
No, you're right. I mean, I think he's had like something like 20 surgeries previously. I mean, the knees, the back surgeries. I mean, that one back surgery, I said many times into a microphone, this guy is not going to come back from this type of back surgery. And I still am hunting down an interview with the guy who did that back surgery, because that guy should get the Nobel Prize for medicine. I mean, I'm thinking about going to him for back surgery. I don't even have back problems. It's like, doc, just hook me up. Just do whatever you did to him. Because it's incredible that he was able to come back from that thing. And here's the thing about Tiger, when you think about, again, talking about his importance and who he's been, I mean, he's become the most accomplished golfer of our generation in the time that we had the ESPN generation, right? So this world is able to generate fame, you know, and star power in a way that hasn't been before. So even if there was a golfer who maybe you could argue approached his talent, his story, his epic story, like you said, the Greek tragedy, the ups and downs, the only guy I can compare to him kind of in both what he's accomplished and how the public turned is the guy who's on this picture right now behind me, is Muhammad Ali, because Cassius Clay was a hated figure in America. He was considered a draft dodger and a coward and a traitor. Eventually, Muhammad Ali became a beloved figure, same with Tiger. He was the ice king. You know, he people didn't love him. They feared him. They were in awe of him, his galleries. But it was his fall and rise in to success that endeared him and made him a figure to be adored. And you talk about hypocrites. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who I call out. It was like, look, this guy, you know, you wouldn't pour a glass of ice water on him if he was on fire 5 years ago. But now that he's come back and won that Masters, all of a sudden, oh, I love Tiger. I love Tiger. Are you sure? Or do you just love, you know, a winner? You love a good story. A lot of hypocrisy out there, plenty enough to go around.
I mean,
Tiger,
that story
holds a place in the imagination that few athletes hold. Right. There's, I mean, who else? Maybe Jordan and recent athletes? Maybe Jordan. Not even Brady.
Michael
Tiger,
Jordan.
Nobody else.
Michael Jordan, not even. And Tom Brady has, is like a fairy tale. It's so perfect, his life. And then Michael Jordan. What's the worst thing that ever happened to Michael Jordan besides nothing? What is bad? His dad died. That was it. His dad was murdered. That was it.
His dad got murdered.
Okay, well, that's bad, but that's not like Tiger Woods, Michael, Tiger Woods has 50 stories of hell and doom, and this guy had his dad murdered. I think it's awful that his dad was murdered, but Tiger Woods got him by 10 stories. I mean, this guy, there's no one that comes close to the stories and the news and the craziness and the attacks and the wife and the sex and the freaking lovers and the all the perverted stuff, and then the drugs, the booze, the addictions, the surgeries, the comebacks, the wins, the fans turning on him and then loving him again. And now he's crashed a car and almost dies and breaks his legs and his ankle shattered. And he's lucky he didn't kill anyone else. It's pretty obvious, Michael, that the guy was speeding. The cops are pretty clear on the fact that he was speeding. And if those cameras show him speeding out of that hotel lot and the guy's telling the truth about him almost hitting a TV producer in the lot and just kept going and driving recklessly, and if they got him on film driving recklessly, you know, even the cop that was on my show earlier, he just said all he's going to get is tickets for endangering others and speeding and reckless driving, and he's not going to get anything else. It's like a lunch bill for him at the country club, because he didn't hit anyone and he didn't kill anyone. And if he wasn't drunk or high and it's just a speeding wreck, it's nothing. It's just you drove too fast. You almost killed yourself. You're lucky you're alive. God must be a fan of yours.
Right. You're exactly right. I mean, and hopefully the toxicology will come back negative. No, I don't want there to be tragedy in his life. I don't want that guy to be addicted to painkillers. I don't want that guy to have had something happen to him other than what happens to all of us. You know, you're running late, you step on it, you try to, you know, you run a yellow light, you run like a little bit of a red light, you take a little corner, and all of a sudden some kid comes out on a bicycle and your whole life changes in a second, in an instant, in a heartbeat. And it can happen to anybody. It can just happen to anybody. And I'm hoping that the tragedy of him being in his physical situation is not compounded by any type of thing that's going on off the, outside of the accident that would indicate that he's had some deeper issues and some deeper problems. But you know what? All of us do. And we all of us do. I mean, all of us have things that we have that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily want to have in the public, but you know, you also say that's why that guy gets the big bucks, because telling his story has made so much money for so many people. And you're right. Nobody comes close. I'm not going to argue with you on that one. It's Tiger, you know, as an epic figure. It's Tiger and nobody else on the sports atmosphere.
I think he's the biggest thing ever in the history of, of civilization. I've never seen anyone bigger in my life. Like, honestly,
Ali.
I mean, Ali. Listen. But he's bigger than, like, John Lennon and the Beatles. Like, your boy, Tiger Woods, is the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life. I got to run, Michael. Great stuff tonight. Killer work by you, as always, my man. Thanks for cutting through it all and getting down to business with us. I love you, man. Let's hope it turns out okay for him.
Let me back, bro. Thanks for having me on, as always. Really appreciate it.
All right, my man. We'll be in touch. Michael Williams in D.C. with us tonight, talking about Tiger Woods' horrific car crash. All right, for all in a minute, Carver Hyde, do you think that he'll golf again with those injuries? I mean, seriously, let's stop with all the BS. Let's get right down to it. I have serious reservations if a guy 45 years old can shatter his ankle and break both his legs, have a compound fracture, almost die. And then, they're going to have, I mean, he had surgery today. I bet Michael Williams is right. I bet he has 15 more surgeries. And then, I got to be honest with you, like a guy, you know, anyone will tell you if you eat pills and you're addicted to pills and you have the worst thing that could happen to you if you're addicted to pills is you shut it down, get clean. And then next thing you know, you have to have 15 surgeries on your back and your legs and your ankle. And then what do you think they're going to give him for that pain? You don't just have those surgeries and not be in agony. You're in agony. You have to take the pills. No matter what, I've heard all these people say, oh, no, you just go through it, raw dog it. You know what, dude? I've done that, and it did not go well. Trust me, I've been down this road. I've been down this road. You know I've had 15 surgeries. I've been down this road with the pills. I've already been down this road. It's no joke. And I just have my reservations, Carver High, if he'll ever golf again.
No, you absolutely have to have those because this is a lot, just a massive, massive injury and things that happened to him in this crash. Look, I think it's hard to never say, you know, you can't say never could, you know, 5 years from now, could he be, you know, hanging around, having some fun on the senior tour, you know, with Phil? I mean, yeah, sure. But in terms of the highest level, you know, playing, right. You know, the U.S. Open, you know, in a year or two from now.
That's what
no.
I'm talking about.
I don't think that those days are probably happening for him. But there could be some moments for him in other areas down the road.
Do you think at any point today were you surprised that he lived?
When you look at the crash, it is amazing that he did because the car was in such bad shape.
I mean, it really is a miracle that the guy's alive. It's crazy. We got another hour to go on a bench.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.